Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Vidyut Sridhar, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, a deep dive into campus alarms, a look into the darker side of your favorite holiday movies, an attempt to turn your life around in 7 days, and a check-in on Wildcat Athletics. Those stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. On campus, fire and other emergency alarms have become ingrained into the lives of students to the point of frustration, annoyance, and indifference. Ella Smith and Dylan Lanier have the story.
Northwestern's campus is lively and loud. Students chatter in libraries and dining halls. Heavy equipment echoes through the air at multiple construction sites, and tour groups fill the streets with eager prospective students and parents. However, there's one sound that many students have come to dread. While one must applaud the school for its high number of fire alarms on campus, it seems that many have a mind of their own. To understand the impacts of these frequent occurrences, we spoke to Northwestern students about their personal experiences with the sounds that sometimes feel like a part of their daily lives. Sydney Chan, a sophomore student in the School of Communication, is a member of SAI. The music fraternity recently went through 2 fire alarms in the same night, both caused by cooking mishaps.
I heard it was like a pork cutlet was being cooked in the microwave. And then they let us back in, and then like 2 or 3 hours later, it went off again. And I think someone left like a pot on the burner and like just like left it there.
While these accidents could have caused real danger, Chan and her neighbors felt more inconvenienced than in fear for their lives.
I just felt minorly inconvenienced because I had a lot of work to do. And I think the same goes for everyone else. They didn't look scared. They just looked confused and a little annoyed because some people want to take showers or just finish their work and go to sleep.
The same goes for fire drills. Chan explained that she intentionally avoided them by staying outside of her dorm after learning about when they would take place.
Honestly, I wasn't here for the actual fire drill. I got the email and I think I made a point of just not being in my dorm for most of the day.
While Chan used school communications to her advantage, some students are left in the dark during these potential emergencies. Freshman Shaylee Fabio lives in Elder, where a fire alarm mishap and the absence of clear communication during her first week left many confused.
Apparently, there was something wrong with the fire alarms, and basically every floor except my floor, the fourth floor, had their fire alarms going off for carbon monoxide, but the fourth floor didn't receive any type of warning. So we found out that our building had supposed carbon monoxide through GroupMe, and it was very surprising, and I was very shocked.
The presence of the fatal gas was thankfully a false alarm, but the lack of communication amongst residents could have dangerous implications.
Even though the carbon monoxide was a false alarm, if it was real, which they thought it was, the entirety of the fourth floor was unaware of it, and I thought that was very concerning. We couldn't hear anything.
On campus, alarms don't just go off in case of fire, but other emergencies as well. Medill freshman Georgia Rao recalls an instance when her political theory class was interrupted by an alarm being sounded in University Hall.
It's like an alarm at University Hall's door. And if it's open for a certain amount of time, it just keeps ringing until you close it, and no one closes it because everyone's like walking out.
As the alarm went off during class, Rao says that it interrupted her professor's teaching and her own learning.
The teacher was really annoyed, and she was just like, oh, it's Tuesday alarm, you know? It really interrupted our learning.
When students view tests of Northwestern's emergency systems as inconvenient and sometimes avoidable, it makes us ask, how effective is the school at preparing the student body for real emergencies? And for students like Fabio, what can seem like an actual emergency can be misinterpreted thanks to miscommunication between students. Student safety is one of Northwestern's top priorities, but there are ways to go until following or acknowledging fire alarms and emergency alerts becomes a priority for students. For WNUR News, Ella Smith and Dylan Lanier.
Watching Hallmark Channel is a popular way to reminisce about the holiday season. Well, maybe. In the past, the channel has been accused of ageism. Naya Reyes talked to real Hallmark watchers to hear what they think.
All right, everybody, here we go. It's time.
The countdown to joy has begun.
Since 2009, the Hallmark Channel has been celebrating the holiday season with the Countdown to Christmas that plays new and old original holiday-themed movies. Over the years, the channel has produced more than 300 original Christmas movies. This year alone, there are over 30 new movies to add to the list.
Music going where we have like the Hallmark movie playing in the background while we are decorating the tree, and it's like a whole, you know, ritual of like my mom gets out all the ornaments and then we're all unwrapping them carefully, and then someone breaks one and she starts yelling at us, and it's so fun and family oriented, and then we're like,
That's Tabby Parent. She's a senior in Medill. And like many people, Hallmark has been the soundtrack to her holiday seasons. Like that instrumental music you have on at dinner parties, you don't consciously know it's there, but it would be pretty weird without it. Lucky for Parent, there's no shortage of movies, but over time, the channel has faced its fair share of serious critiques, ranging from racism to ableism. This year, the company could add one more thing to their naughty list, ageism.
Well, I hope I don't take too much of your time.
Diane Anderson is 83 years old and has been watching Hallmark for somewhere between 15 to 20 years.
And there's and her first name is Penny, and maybe you've seen it, but whenever I see that she's, you know, at the end when they say, when she's the one that has picked who's in it, they're all my favorite.
She's talking about Penny Perry, a former casting director for Hallmark who is 79 years old. After she was fired, she filed a lawsuit in October claiming that she was wrongfully let go due to her age. Perry said the issue isn't exclusive to her. She claims she heard conversations about the channel wanting to replace 60-year-old leading woman Holly Robinson Peete. So, in light of this lawsuit and us being so close to the holiday season, I talked to real Hallmark watchers to see if they feel the ageism in the movies and if they care about it. Noreen McConnell is 74 years old, and Lacey Chabert is one of her favorite Hallmark actresses. You might better know Chabert, who is 42 years old, from her role as Gretchen Wieners in the 2004 movie Mean Girls.
I just really enjoy getting away from watching the news and listening to a feel-good story with a happy ending. It just makes me feel good, feel happy. It puts my mind in a good place.
The October lawsuit mentioned Chabert. An Associated Press article says that Vice President of Programming Lisa Hamilton Daly is accused of saying Chabert is, quote, getting older and we have to find someone to replace her as she gets older, end quote.
Well, I think it's unfortunate. Age discrimination is out there, and it's not really just in Hallmark either. It's just across the board and like all the different professions. With Lacey, I sure would hate to see her go.
While viewers like McConnell know you can't play the young hopeless romantic forever, they also believe that aging doesn't have to mean the end of a career.
Watch it. You know, I still would watch it. I really watch it for entertainment, but I don't get too much into the politics about things. Mm-hmm. I try not to think about it too much, but it would be disappointing. I think they probably could come together and figure out, you know, roles she could play in. I mean, gee, she's only 40. She could.
Karen says she'll still watch the movies too, but that it's high time we have a conversation about the expiration date we put on women in film.
I think that the movies will still be on in the background when we're decorating on Christmas. And if there's an added bonus of, oh, they're more inclusive and more people might relate to them.
Now, Hallmark fans wait as the lawsuit unfolds, unsure about what a verdict could mean for the channel. In late October, a Hallmark spokesperson denied all the claims in the lawsuit. And still, many fans, Even non-Hallmark fans tend to agree on the phenomenon pointed out by McConnell.
Yeah, that's unfortunate when, you know, when you identify yourself with your career and you're really not ready to retire, you know, it's heartbreaking, you know.
This lawsuit probably isn't changing the minds of too many people who crave movies like the ones Hallmark produces. In a world of happy endings, allegations like this make us remember that it really is all just lights and cameras and a lot of Christmas magic. And yet, sometimes it's still nice to indulge in a bit of fantasy.
You know, they're nice, clean movies. They're about romance. There's no bad people, no cruelty.
For WNUR News, I'm Naya Reyes.
January is a time for making resolutions. Our reporter, Gabby Schell, challenged herself to completely overhaul her habits in the name of health.
What do you think, guys? New quarter, new me? Like many people, my New Year's resolution included the usual laundry list of healthy habits. 8 hours of sleep, 3 meals a day, regular exercise, you know the drill. But between friends, I have not exactly put in the work to make my resolutions a reality. Maybe it was the rigorous Northwestern course load, maybe it was the winter quarter seasonal depression, maybe it was just pure laziness. Whatever the reason, up until now, I have been a healthy habit failure. New year, new me might not have panned out, but spring quarter set a new challenge. I turn 18 this spring, and I want to enter adulthood as a changed woman. To do this, I needed to start out spring quarter strong. I present to you guys how to turn your life around in 7 days. Sort of. All right, it's the Friday before spring quarter starts, and I've started planning out my healthy habits. After a quick WebMD search on how healthy people behave, I chose the most attainable, regular habits to work into my day. My goals are 10,000 steps, 30 minutes of exercise, 64 ounces of water, 8 hours of sleep, and 3 balanced meals, clocking it at around 2,000 calories per day. With that criteria in mind, I'd like to tell you guys that come Monday, I hit the ground running on my new healthy habits. Unfortunately, I failed every single goal and forgot to record any of my progress. Oops. Luckily, and this might be the first time in history anyone has ever said this, we do Northwestern Mondays. So I downloaded a fitness app, set some reminders on my phone, and woke up bright and early Tuesday morning, ready to right my wrongs. It's 7 on a Tuesday morning. I'm running on a little under 7 hours of sleep, and today, I turn my life around. For the most part, my first day of healthy adult habits went off without a hitch. I just went to a yoga class with some friends, and now we are on our way to get some dinner. But by the end of the day, I wasn't feeling refreshed. I was feeling tired and hungry. When I checked my fitness tracker, I realized I was around 800 calories short. The next day, I fell short again, and with my increased exercise, this calorie deficit posed real health problems. Okay, I just went for a run, and I almost passed out. Like, literally the world was bending around me. The next morning, I reached out to Petra Rack, Northwestern Athletics' leading sports dietitian, who reminded me of a key meal I was missing.
If you're only eating 3 meals, you should be eating snacks in between. That's where you can get those couple hundred calories left in between because, you know, if you think about it, your body is, you're not eating for 3 to 4 hours in between your meals. Your body is going to start to run on very low.
The specific type of food is important too. When designing the athlete's meal plan, Rack focuses on the variety within food type.
You want to make sure that there is adequate amounts of different types of carbohydrates because that's the main source of energy. And we want to make sure that, you know, there's one that has a whole grain, but then there's also, you know, a more like either white rice or white pasta or potato that's a quicker carb.
Vegetables are another place where variety on the plate is key.
We always like promote, you know, having a colorful plate because more variety in that plate, in that color, make sure that you're hitting all of the nutrients you need.
Before we ended our interview, I wanted some general advice on how to balance these healthy habits with a stressful Northwestern schedule.
Just about like balancing. If you're not fueled for your sport, you're definitely not going to be fueled for your brain, what your brain capacity is for working, and your time management, because like you can't be staying up until midnight finishing a paper.
After our chat, I went on a Target run to stock up on some healthy snacks to finish out my week strong. But Friday morning, disaster struck.
Okay, so it's Friday morning, and I'm definitely sick.
After a WebMD deep dive and multiple naps, I sat down to modify my goals. Exercising was out of the question, but three meals, lots of water and sleep, and a few leisurely walks seemed like just what the doctor ordered. But what I didn't account for was the power of a strict schedule in keeping these healthy habits. Those innocent naps ended up disrupting both my sleep habits and my meal times. I only ate two meals a day the entire weekend, and my sleep varied from 13 hours one night to just two the next. At first, I was really frustrated with myself, not only for getting sick, but for being derailed by something as small as a sore throat. But as I sat down to write this piece, I remembered something that Rack told me at the end of our conversation.
You don't have to be perfect at everything in your life. I would say that would be the biggest thing, is like just accepting that not everything's going to be perfect. And the fact that you're doing your best in these other aspects, you know, as long as you are, you know, eating majority of the time, you know, with whole foods and things that make you feel good, you're doing things with friends, you're being social, you're drinking water and some fluids, and you're exercising a little bit once in a while.
I guess what I learned is that turning your life around is more than a one-week process. Sometimes uncontrollable things come up, and that's okay. I learned to give myself grace and take the time to choose the habits that are most helpful to me. I didn't like counting my calories, but eating three meals a day definitely improved my energy levels, and I had a lot of fun exploring the SPAC group classes for this piece. Luckily, I have a month and a half left of my youth left to pick and choose what to keep and what to leave. For WNUR News, I'm Gabby Schell.
This winter, Northwestern athletics have had to deal with the harsh climate of the Big Ten. Brendan Priseman checks in on how the Wildcats are faring. This is the NU Sports Report.
Hi, I'm Brendan Priseman. Winter quarter is getting into full swing, and that's no different for Northwestern sports. Things on the hardwood are heating up, and the spring sport teams are getting their calendars ready. Here's your NU Sports Report for the week. In men's basketball, Chris Collins' crew has hit a major bump in the road. After starting the season 4-0, Northwestern men's basketball has stumbled down to an 8-8 record. That record includes five straight losses in Big Ten play. That's the worst streak for the Wildcats in the Big Ten since they lost 13 consecutive conference games in the 2020-21 season. The most recent loss to Rutgers was one of the most devastating of the year. Despite leading by 6 points with 2:33 to play, Northwestern fell to the Scarlet Knights in overtime by a score of 77-75. Not even a career-high 34 points from Nick Martinelli were enough to get the team its first Big Ten win of the year. To make matters worse for the Wildcats, the toughest part of the schedule is yet to come. Number 13 Illinois, who leads the all-time series against Northwestern 145-45, is visiting Welsh Ryan Arena this evening. And then this weekend, NU has a Saturday afternoon showdown against the story of the season in college basketball. The 8th-ranked Nebraska Cornhuskers are 17-0 and on the cusp of the highest ranking in program history. With the Wildcats already in the basement of the Big Ten, this week is dealing them a pair of battles with teams in the penthouse. Meanwhile, their counterparts on the hardwood might have turned a corner. Northwestern women's basketball spent its Sunday afternoon dominating Rutgers 73-54. Casey Harder scored a career-high 21 points in the blowout, and that wasn't the only career record. Caroline Lau set a career best of her own with 16 assists, which matches the all-time program record. The victory is the first Big Ten win of the season for the Wildcats and snaps a 10-game losing streak, stretching back to last November. Even with a somewhat disappointing 7-10 record, Joe McEwen still has a lot to be proud of in his final season as head coach. Grace Sullivan, the Bucknell transfer in her second season in Evanston, has been a revelation offensively. Her 22.4 points per game are second in the Big Ten and ninth nationally. Lau, meanwhile, has been head and shoulders above the competition, passing the rock. She leads the nation in assists per game with a whopping 9.3. Nobody else in the nation even has more than 8.5. The two stars will look to continue their success against Wisconsin at home tomorrow night. Northwestern softball is still almost a month away from beginning its season, but the Diamond Dominators are still making headlines. Construction on Kip and Sarah Kirkpatrick Stadium, the team's new home, began last September. However, the project won't be completed until this summer. That meant the Wildcats needed to find a new home for the 2026 campaign. Their choice was the ballpark at Rosemont, Chicago's home for professional softball. The venue has hosted four world championships and the Athletes Unlimited Softball League opening day last season. All 12 games scheduled at the ballpark will be played against Big Ten opponents, including 2025 Women's College World Series participant Oregon. Northwestern softball begins its season at the Kajikawa Classic in Tucson, Arizona, on February 6th against Toledo. That wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Brendan Prizman, WNUR News.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. It's looking like a return to typical Chicago weather. Tonight, following snow showers earlier, it's windy with temps in the teens. On Thursday, it's mostly sunny with a high of 25 and a low of 22, although there is a chance of snow at night. Friday also brings a chance of snow with a high of 38 and a low of 16. Taking a look into the headlines of Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe, the Chicago Stars filed a permit to use the new Ryan Field for a 5-year period. The National Women's Soccer League team began using Martin Stadium last season after poor attendance at their previous stadium in Bridgeview. While some Evanston residents worry about the possibility, the Stars view the stadium as a lifeline. It's a great day for Illinois nature lovers. Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration announced today that a total of $36 million in grants is being awarded to help 67 select community parks acquire more land and upgrade their recreational offerings. NASA is attempting a bittersweet first. America's space agency is seeking to complete its first medical evacuation of an astronaut from outer space. The astronaut, along with three crewmates, are expected to splash down Thursday in the waters near San Diego. During a summit between South Korea and Japan, it's easy to expect officials, media, and discussion of policies. But what about a sacred deer? Well, that's what happened in Nara, Japan, as over 1,000 roaming deer stole the show. The animal is considered sacred and is a sight to behold for tourists who feed them specialty crackers. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and on Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Ethan Pan, and our reporters are Ella Smith, Dylan Lanier, Naya Reyes, Gabby Shell, and Brendan Priceman. I'm Vidyut Sridhar. Catch our next newscast Friday, January 16th. Now, back to scheduled programming.